that you don't. I've done things that you won't. There's nothing like a trail of blood to find your way back home. I was waiting for my host. What came next was so much worse. It took a funeral to make me feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes and see that life is... Chapter 6. Here, Faye says, and Fox looks up into the cup of calf and takes it without hesitation. It's bitter and strong, and he makes a sound of appreciation, burying his face in the cup for a good long moment before he can finally bring himself to surface. You remember, he says, when he finally comes up for air. No one else has. Faye hums, taking a seat on the ground beside his bench. The halls of healing are quiet and full of light, spread out around a courtyard exploding with greenery, a fountain at its center. And Fox wants to be offended by the ridiculousness of indoor fountains, but it's soothing. Not that he'd ever admit that out loud. The Jedi seem to know what they're doing with the whole peace and light thing. The Force is vast, Faye says. And it doesn't sound like mystical bullshit. It just sounds practical, which is an impressive lift coming from someone who's apparently the oldest Jedi alive. Fox knows how long Sephi live, and it's not that long. It touched your time, and through my connection to it, I touch all times. So I just moved your consciousness to where you do the most good. She pauses, taking a sip of her tea, and smiles faintly. I see I picked the right man. She, Fox thinks, is creepy. But then he probably comes off as creepy too, so he can roll with it. Not that anyone's apparently noticed, he says, and downs the rest of his calf like a shot, sets the cup on the ground. They're digging into who killed the bastard, and they can't even tell he ran around in a fancy bathrobe cackling the whole time. Faye snorts quietly, looking up, and her expression is a warm sort of amusement that makes Fox feel like he just got dunked in a hot shower. It's a spell, she says. A Sith spell, though I've never seen it used to such an extent before. It's meant to hide their presence and cloud the Force so that no one can find them. The anchor will be somewhere on Coruscant, in a place the Sith went frequently. Fox grunts, already calculating where Palpatine could have gone regularly without being noticed. Not that Fox would probably remember, even if he'd accompanied the bastard. He doesn't particularly care if people figure out who Palpatine was or not, because Sidious is dead and Fox got to kick his corpse at least once. But it might be better. More satisfying, certainly. Somewhere I can find? He asks. Something I can break? I'm sure the Force will guide you to where you're meant to be, Faye says mildly, and looks up, smiles. Mace, he's charming. Mace raises a brow at her. But when she holds out her hands, he snorts and catches them, pulling Faye to her feet. He is, he agrees. And Fox has been called a hell of a lot of things, but that's a first. That's a favorite, too, now. He smirks at Mace, leaning back in his seat, and Mace holds his gaze for a long moment before he looks away. Faye makes a quiet sound of amusement, leaning up on her toes. Obligingly, Mace bends down, lets her wrap her arms around his neck, and press a kiss to his cheek. I'm very glad to see you well, Master Faye, he says, quiet. And Fox thinks of that first moment, hearing Thorne's voice in the halls, the lurch in his stomach like he'd missed a step, and breathes out. A mutual feeling, Faye returns, letting go, and then she's past Mace, slipping back into the halls without a pause. Mace watches her go for a long moment,
then breathes out, long and slow, and sinks down next to Fox on the bench. "It seems," he says with good humor, "our whole afternoon was put on hold." It's true, and Fox was looking forward to it. But he tips one shoulder in a shrug, casts his glance sideways at Mace, just because he enjoys looking. "For a good cause," he says, and thinks again of hearing Thorne's voice for the first time since he died. "Friends coming back is always a good thing." There's a moment, then a long, careful breath. "That's true," Mace allows. "The two of us have more experience than most with seeing friends leave, so seeing them return is a kindness." Fox snorts, closing his eyes. The commander of the guard stays on Coruscant no matter what, and Mace is on the council, one of the Jedi responsible for sending other Jedi out to fight. Coruscant is its own front line, and Mace fights alongside the clones as often as he sits in council meetings, but it hits. It makes Fox remember all over again just why he's here again, alive again, with a Sith Lord's lightsaber tucked into his belt pouch. Mace gets it, he thinks, and breathes. Mace gets what it's like to be the one left behind, watching his friends die, and something about that understanding makes Fox itch to reach out, to touch, to pull Mace in. "The Sith Lord is dead," Mace says, and leans forward, bracing his elbows on his thighs as he rubs his hands over his face. Fox goes still, watching him, because the echo of his thoughts could be unconscious, or could be a Jedi thing, and he isn't sure which he wants it to be. "No one has realized." Well, this probably isn't the best time for Fox to turn and cup his face and ask for a kiss, which is what he was about to do. Trust Palpatine to ruin everything, even when he's dead. With a huff, Fox sits back, draping his arms along the top of the bench, and considers finding a way to kick his corpse again. "Must be a reason for that, right?" he asks, though most of his attention is on the line of Mace's throat, the curve of his shoulders. He's not wearing an outer robe, and Fox appreciates the lean lines of him, the edge of white undershirt that shows beneath the sandy brown, the tall boots, too, almost to his knees, and the white leggings underneath, loose and comfortable, but still showing a trace of muscle definition beneath. Fox wants to touch, and he's mildly annoyed that he can't. There's a pause, startled, and Mace looks up, turns so he's facing Fox. "What did you say?" he asks, almost sharp. Fox blinks. Suddenly forced to think about something that isn't Mace's thighs, which is a minor travesty. But it's Mace's question, so he drags his thoughts away from things that would probably make Theer blush and replays what he just said. "A reason," he repeats, and meets Mace's dark eyes. "He's a Sith, right? There's some way he can hide, even his death?" And that's an idea, isn't it? Mace wants to find the Sith Lord, and Fox wants people to realize that Palpatine was a Sith Lord, preferably without getting tossed in jail or sent for re-education, because that would definitely put a cramp in his plans to experience Mace's thighs in all possible ways. Faye said that this whole hiding thing would be centered somewhere Palpatine frequented. So if Mace finds it while looking for the Sith, he might be able to link it back to Palpatine. Of course, Fox can just nudge him towards the right conclusion along the way. Mace is very devoted to the laws, to the Republic, and he probably won't be overly happy that Fox murdered the Chancellor. So Fox will have to hide that part. But it will be fine. Fox is a master of Bantha shit. He can definitely hide a bit of recreational murder. Well, two bits of recreational murder. He's not forgetting Skywalker. the forces clouded. Mace says after a long second. It's been hard to see what's coming for years now. I'd thought it was dark feelings taking root across the galaxy, but perhaps I was mistaken. If it was more deliberate. It lifted enough for Faye to come back, Fox points out. Means he really is dead, right? Maybe it's also lifted enough that you can figure out who he was. We will, Mace says. Grim, perfect certainty. But when he meets Fox's eyes, it's nothing grim at all. Thank you, Commander. Your charity is admirable. It's Fox, Fox says, and shifts forward, arms sliding off the back of the bench to curl around Mace's back. His other hand he raises to frame Mace's face, and Mace's eyes fall shut, his breath just a little unsteady for an instant. Fox, Mace says, but it could be acknowledgement or a quiet plea, and Fox answers both options the same way. He leans in, pressing their foreheads together, the tips of their noses, dragging his fingertips down over the curve of Mace's jaw, the line of his throat. Mace's breath fully catches at that, and Fox hums, interested, as he slips a thumb under the collar of Mace's robes, beneath his undershirt, and traces the sharp line of Mace's collarbone. I've got clarity about this, too, he says, low, in case you were still wondering. I think you're proving yourself admirably, Mace says. And when warm, dark eyes slide open, Fox can't look away. I think I could do better, he counters, and Mace snorts. I may not survive your full assault, he says, amused. This is a new experience. Fox still can't begin to believe that he was the first person to give Mace flowers, even though Depa was the one to tell him that. Can't understand it, either, except that maybe no one else in the galaxy actually has taste. It shouldn't be, Fox says plainly. You criffing deserve everything. I can't believe I'm not beating people off with a stick. There's a brutal sort of awareness in Mace's gaze, a blunt honesty that's not so different from everything Fox is used to. You're sure you want this, Fox? I've been told I'm not personable, not easy. The thing I'm most sure about, Fox says, low, is that I want to find whoever told you that and throw them out a window. Humor flickers just for an instant. I believe, Mace says gravely, that I would put my odds on you over Qui-Gon Jinn any day, Fox. But it was a long time ago. It's been a long time. The one who found Skywalker, if Fox is remembering right, and demanded he be made a Jedi, and, well, clearly that says everything that needs to be said about Jinn's lack of intelligence. He's still an asshole. And even if you aren't easy, I don't give a damn. I'm not afraid of work. Not for a good cause, and you're a criffing great one. Mace closes his eyes again like he can't take the words, and tips his head. Applause. Loud, mocking applause from far too close. And Fox freezes. So does Mace. Exasperation washing across his expression as he sighs. But he's close enough that Fox can feel Mace's breath on his own lips because Mace was about to kiss him. Cody adds a wolf whistle just to be an asshole, and he's still applauding. I, Fox tells Mace, low and deadly, am going to steal your lightsaber. Thorn confiscated all of my knives. Master Windu, Kenobi says, all faux shock and actual mischief. My word, you're doing such things in public. What will the Padawans think? Whatever is mine is yours, Mace tells Fox, just for his ears. The switch is on the bottom. Fox loves this man. He grins, wolfish, slides a hand up Mace's thigh, and hears Cody hoot. Mace's breath hitch. Comes up, plasma burning violet, and sees the criffing nerf herder's eyes go wide. Criffing run, he tells Cody, and his general equally, solely in the name of sportsmanship, and lunges. Kenobi shrieks like a little girl when Fox nearly takes his whole beard off, and Fox is almost willing to call the interruption worth it, just for the way Mace laughs.